Chapter 4.
And that's when he caught me with the fucking razor blades in his hand, bro!
Todd exaggerated as we prepared for our journey to Earth.
Oh, but that wasn't even the worst part. Then that shady motherfucker tried to gouge out my eye. My fucking eye, bro! Well, thankfully, I got him down on the mat, counted to three, and then declared myself the King of the Ring.
I thought the new guy won. I questioned as I strapped my dark Caliginian breastplate to my chest. The one who came down on the zipline? We were there, bro. Todd just crossed his arms and shook his head furiously.
Nah, Jakey. Me doth think your eyes deceived you. I was in pretty bad shape, like Rocky Balboa at the end of the first movie shape. Strawberry Shortcake had to heal me and everything, so you can totally ask her.
Ask me what?
Superbia's angelic voice spoke up as she entered my room.
About how excited you all are to see Ollie and Jane again. It's been forever. Like at least three adventures. Oh, fuck, it's been so long I don't even remember the nicknames I gave them.
You didn't give them any.
Superbia reminded the imp.
At least none you've used consistently.
Oh, well, that needs to change.
Todd pondered as he rubbed his goatee.
Oh, let's see. Ollie totally looks like Emperor Palpatine. Maybe something Star Wars relate. No, that'd be too easy. Oh, and Jane looks like that smoke show from True Detective. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Oh, never seen it, I admitted with a shrug. Todd's mouth opened wide as he covered it with his hand, and his eyes bugged out in horror.
Oh, I see you've still got a lot of culturing to do, Jakey. I need to get on that.
Yeah, I'll add it to my list. I lied as I turned to the petite madam of the group. Is everybody ready to go?
I believe so. Our newcomers are quite excited. Aside from Mirage, I don't believe any of them have seen your mansion back on Earth.
It's not that big of a deal. I chuckled as I finished lacing up my boots. It's really fucking nice, but it's nothing compared to all the cool shit I've got down here.
Yes, but remember where they come from. These girls may have slipped off to Earth Realm every now and again, but for the most part, all they've ever known is hell. And as cool as it may be, it gets kind of monotonous after a few millennia.
I get it, I agreed sarcastically. I'll make sure the cultists treat them to a true luxury spa experience.
Ah, that's the spirit, Jakey!
Todd clapped his hands together.
And while we're at it, do you know if any of the chicks in your cult are mamooses? Speaking of monotonous, the Toddster needs to change up his method of release, if you get my drift.
So first off, it's masseuses, I explained.
That's what I said,
Todd protested.
Marty Mooses.
That's a fictional mascot. I sighed as I threw out my hands in frustration. Masseuses.
They're Dr. Seuss's, I got it.
Todd winked.
Anywho, if you find any of them, ask if they'd like to do a little, hop-on-pop with a well-endowed imp.
Yeah, sure thing. I lied and rolled my eyes. Then Sia, Todd, and I walked out into the main living area of the castle, where the rest of the succubi were anxiously awaiting our arrival. I had no idea what sort of shit was going down on Earth, so I figured it'd be best to take all 12 of my demon lords along for this mission. Best case scenario, it was something as simple as a few rogue cultists we could cut down easily. Worst case scenario, well, since I knew my father was now out for blood, I didn't even want to think of the worst case scenario. Is everybody ready? I called out to the crew. They all responded with a resounding,
Yeah!
So I summoned green hellfire into my hands and then commanded it to engulf all of our bodies. As I tried to focus my telekinetic spell, I thought about the entire situation at hand. We'd been living large for the last few weeks as we celebrated our ultimate victory over our greatest enemy yet. But now, thanks to some Earthside bastards or some other demon fuck, we had to go off and risk our lives on a mission that would probably be little more than a side quest. I was looking for a reason to be disgusted, and it came to me very easily. Soon I felt my body floating through time and space as I pictured the familiar black-and-white tiled floor of my mansion. I pictured the building's large, rounded thresholds and the beautiful chandeliers Libidine had installed on the ceilings. The garage where my trusty Jeep Wrangler and Maserati GT sat, just waiting to be driven again. Then, my armored feet clacked against the tile floor, and I opened my eyes. All 13 of us were now standing in the entryway of my mansion.
This is yours?
Deja gasped as she looked around.
This is fucking wicked. I'm not so sure what's so wicked about it.
Impulsa admitted.
I feel poor just standing here, and I don't even use money. I wonder how your security systems are.
Eclipse mused.
These fancy houses always have the best of the best, but in reality, they're about as easy to hack as possible.
Please don't hack into our systems, Lisbeth, Todd warned. There's stuff on that computer upstairs that, should never see the light of day. Ever.
Just then, two familiar, smiling faces entered through the living room. They were both wearing similar navy blue robes, tied up at the waist with a brown leather belt that bore a goat-headed dagger. One person was an elderly man, with a face as leathery as the belt around his body, and thin white hair that sat like a bird's nest atop his head. His dark, sunken, beady eyes lit up with recognition, though, and he grinned at me happily. The other figure had bright blue eyes, luscious lips, and brown hair tied back into a ponytail behind her head. Even through her baggy robe, I could see the hourglass figure hidden underneath, dotted by thick curves. Oliver and Jane, the leaders of the cult of Ralston.
Oh, it's so good to see you again, my friends!
Oliver exclaimed as he opened his arms wide for an embrace. The white-haired cultist wrapped his arms around me and pulled me into a surprisingly tight bear hug that lasted an uncomfortably long time. When he finally released me, he turned to do the same to Todd.
No.
Todd wagged his finger at the cult leader.
Yeah, normally I'd be down for the whole bro hug thing, but I don't want to smell like Depends and hemorrhoid cream for the rest of the day.
Oh, Todd,
Oliver cackled and rested his hands on his belly.
I've missed your jokes.
Todd quickly turned to Jane, ran over to her feet, and held out his arms like a toddler.
Now I will take a hug from you, Jane Doe, the imp giggled.
Jane rolled her eyes, but then she picked Todd up in her arms and gave him a quick platonic hug. As she put him back down to the ground, he let out a deep sigh and waddled back toward the group. Then I ran over to the brunette cultist, wrapped her in my arms, and kissed her forehead tenderly. Jane smelled sweet, like chocolate wrapped up in citrus, and I didn't want to ever let her go.
Good to see you again, too, Jacob.
She smiled as she pulled her head back.
Good to see all of you. Is this the human woman Jacob is always talking about?
Mirage asked as she stepped forward and stuck out her hand.
My name is Mirage. I'm his newest madam. Another madam?
Jane raised her eyebrow as she shook the succubus's hand.
I'm guessing Jacob and Sia finally got overwhelmed, huh? Something like that.
Mirage giggled and then motioned to the other three new succubi.
We are Jacob's newest demon lords.
Demon lords?
Oliver gasped.
You turned them into demon lords? It's ingenious. How many other marvelous, powerful new demons did you add to your army?
You're looking at them, Ollie,
Todd said as he thumped on his chest.
Well, we had some more, but they all got turned into demon kings. None of them are as good-looking or well-endowed as this one, though.
Demon kings?
Oliver shook his head and grinned.
Oh, it sounds like a lot has happened since we last spoke, on both fronts.
There truly has been,
a deep, flat voice announced from the kitchen.
We've got a lot of catching up to do.
The Archangel Raphael stepped through the door with the spirit of Angelo Martitelli by his side.
Amici! Martitelli declared. È passato troppo tempo!
Che passa to you too, Tortellini?
Todd responded awkwardly.
Well, shall we reconvene in the other room?
Oliver asked.
In there we can sit down and discuss all the crazy happenings that have occurred in the last few months.
Are we all going to fit in there?
Sia questioned.
Well, unfortunately not, Oliver explained. But that's why I've got some alternate activities for your demon lords.
The white-haired cultist snapped his fingers, and a small group of my followers walked through the door. They each had a skimpy bikini in one hand and an individual bottle of strawberry daiquiri in the other.
Are you suggesting what I think you are?
Libidine grinned.
I am, the cult leader nodded. You all go and enjoy yourselves by the pool. The weather's actually quite lovely this time of year, and I figured you don't have many places to swim down in hell.
Well, Oliver had assumed wrong, but the succubi didn't care.
I call the tube top!
Cupie exclaimed as she ran over, snatched the bikini from the cultist, and then dashed to the sliding glass door.
Last one to the pool doesn't get a daiquiri!
Deja cackled as she followed the Sister of Greed. The rest of the demon lords dashed out after the other two, and they made sure to grab their goodies as they ran. Finally, it was just Oliver, Jane, Todd, Raff, and Martitelli in the room. Todd began to take a step toward the door, but Oliver stopped him.
Where do you think you're going? He asked the imp. Don't you want to discuss these new happenings with the rest of us?
Todd furrowed his brow, crossed his arms, and clicked his tongue as he tapped his foot against the ground.
Oh, I see, he mused. You send all the girls off to play in the pool and drink fruity drinks, but you want the big strong men to stay here and talk about the important shit.
The color drained from Oliver's face as he immediately went on the defensive.
That's not what... I didn't mean for it to happen. Jane is going to be in this meeting,
he protested. Todd just shook his head. He shot back.
She's only here because you know Jakey would make you include her.
Oliver seemed to get even more flustered.
That's not true, he argued. Jane is a valuable asset to this cult. She and I go back even before we knew Jacob.
Oh, the imp frowned. So, you just keep her around because you want something pretty to look at, huh?
The cultist sputtered. Oliver's face was now dripping with sweat as he tried to think up another counterpoint, but it was of no use. Just when it looked like Oliver had nowhere else to go with the conversation, Todd broke. The imp let out a loud guffaw as he doubled over and slapped his leg repeatedly.
Ha ha ha! Oh, you should have seen your face, Ollie! Oh, you totally thought I was serious, didn't you?
That's not something you'd normally joke about, Oliver huffed, but the imp just kept laughing.
Meanwhile, Raphael slapped me playfully on the shoulder.
Now I can see why Todd does that to me all the time. Ha ha! Oh, it's quite humorous when you see it from the other side.
Idiot.
The ghost of Martitelli facepalmed.
If you boys are done tugging each other's dicks, we've got some important business to attend to.
Whoa there, Jane Goodall.
Todd's demeanor suddenly became serious.
The Toddster doesn't tug anybody's dick but his own. And that one guy in high school when he went up for the basketball, I missed my jump. But that was an accident, and I screamed no homo afterward.
I'm sure it was.
Jane chuckled as she strolled over into the dining room. I was right behind her, and Todd, Oliver, and Raff were right behind me. As we all took our places at the table, Todd looked around curiously.
Hey, where'd Rotini get off to?
He asked. Suddenly, the ghost of Martitelli floated through the wall as if it weren't even there. Then I watched curiously as he hovered straight through Todd, walked through the table, and then took a seat across from Raphael.
Spiaciente,
Martitelli nodded.
I don't care about your damn spaghetti. Ugh. Warn a guy before you just go through him like that.
Now, shall we get down to business?
Oliver spoke up as he went to put the meeting in order. Not quite. There's something we need to do first. I picked up the salt shaker in the center of the dining room table, twisted off the top, and then stood from my chair. Then I began to walk around the perimeter of the room, sprinkling salt in a circular pattern as I moved. Finally, once there was a closed circle around the table, I bowed my head and began to utter the protective incantation that would keep my father from hearing this conversation. When the spell was set, I took my place at the table once more. Oh, there, now Lucifer won't be able to eavesdrop on us.
Lucifer has taken an interest in your dealings?
Good Lord, Jacob, what exactly have you gotten yourself into down there?
I took a deep breath, sat back in my chair, and began the long story of everything that had occurred since the last time we'd spoken. I told them all about the unholy trio and how we'd gone through and killed each one of them. I told them about Lucifer's revelation to me, as well as how I'd turned all my friends into demon lords, and then some of them into demon kings. I even told them about my little excursion into the shadow world. My cultists took the most astounding interest, however, in the fact that Lilith was on my side.
The Demon Queen has never done anything like this before.
Jane whistled.
She must really like you if she's decided to betray Lucifer like this. Nobody does that and lives to tell about it.
Well, there's a first time for everything. I shrugged.
Precisely! And if you haven't noticed, my dear Jane, our glorious leader always brings about firsts wherever he goes.
Oh, please don't call me glorious leader, I scoffed. It makes me sound like a dictator or something.
No, more like the monocled Russian dude from Rocky and Bullwinkle,
Todd snickered.
Oh, my apologies, Jacob, Oliver noted. But you must admit you've brought about lots of changes in the world of the demonic.
Unfortunately, Raphael sighed, he is also bringing much controversy and change to the world of the divine. The archangels just took a vote yesterday, Jacob. I'm afraid it's bad news.
They want to abandon me, don't they? I sighed.
It was a close vote,
the dark-haired archangel explained with a wince.
4-3.
Who are the other three? I asked. You, Metatron, and...
No, not Metatron.
Raphael shook his head.
He's a kissbot, remember? He was vocally outspoken against assisting you the entire session.
Oh, maybe you should just star-scream his ass,
Todd suggested.
Sounds like he's about as useful as Megatron. Then again, at least Megatron killed Optimus Prime. Oh, you know, scratch that. He's more like fucking Galvatron. Totally Unicron's bitch.
I'm not familiar with that political strategy,
Raphael admitted.
Neither was Starscream.
The imp shrugged.
That's why it never fucking worked.
Who voted with me, then? I demanded, but Raph simply shook his head.
It was a secret vote,
he explained.
So I couldn't tell you. However, it's comforting to know we at least have two other archangels on our side, whoever they may be.
So, what happens now? Does this mean I'm cut off from all of Heaven's resources?
Yes,
Raph sighed.
They destroyed the radio and proclaimed any angel or archangel who fraternized with you would be excommunicated from paradise.
Then what are you doing here?
Oliver asked with a raised finger.
Can't they see what you are doing right now?
Idioti,
Martitelli mumbled once more, but Raph didn't seem to hear. Instead, the archangel reached up, pulled the hair tie from his man bun, and then shook his dark locks like a dog as they cascaded down his shoulders. Then he held the tie up for all of us to see. It was composed completely of gold, and a yellow light sizzled off it like a wild flame.
It's all thanks to this little device Martitelli whipped up,
he boasted.
We call it the Heavenly Artificial Light Overrider, or the Halo for short. It's a magical device that can shield divine powers from anyone, even those as powerful as the Exalted One or Lucifer. As long as I have this on me, I can move about between Earth, Heaven, and even Hell without being tracked.
Does it have to be, like, on you?
Todd questioned.
Or could I totally stuff it in my pockets and then conduct a panty raid on the Ninth Circle?
Oh, see for yourself.
Raphael grinned, and then he tossed the halo over to Todd. As the imp inspected the glowing gold band, Martitelli looked petrified.
Idiote!
He growled and slammed his hand on the table.
Rimettilo su, qualcuno te vedrà!
Check it out, Raffy!
Todd snickered as he wrapped the headband around his tiny noggin.
I'm motherfucking Ryu!
Buffone!
Martitelli flew over and yanked the halo away from Todd.
Restito schillo!
The ghost threw the halo back at Raphael like it was a discus, and the archangel caught it nonchalantly. Then Martitelli began to swear at Raphael, using just about every Italian curse in the book. When the tantrum had finally subsided, Raphael quietly put his hair back up into the bun.
It was only off for a minute,
he muttered like a kicked puppy.
I'm sure nobody saw me.
Martitelli crossed his arms across his chest, scoffed at Raph's statement, and then floated back to his chair. So the real question is, are there suddenly going to be angels coming after me now, too? I asked.
No,
Raph promised.
The vote was to halt aid to your endeavors, not to turn you into an enemy. I think the Exalted One still has a soft spot for you, thanks to all the demons you slayed while here on Earthrealm.
God and Jakey, sitting in a tree,
Todd began, but I quickly shut him up with an irate stare. I hope you guys have better news to report on your front. I chuckled as I turned toward Oliver and Jane. Both of the cultists went silent, and then they began to exchange awkward glances between themselves, the table, and the floor.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Ah, it's nothing too bad. Oliver chuckled nervously. It's just, well,
The end times, that's all.
Jane finished as she stared down at the floor.
Did I just hear you right? Because I totally thought you said the end times. You know, like the apocalypse, the rapture, the return of the Jedi. Oh, no, or I guess Return of the King would fit there, too.
That is what I said.
Jane sighed. I couldn't believe my ears. The end times? What the fuck were they talking about? Tell me she's joking, I demanded as I looked over at Raphael. However, the archangel simply shook his head.
I wish I could, he reiterated. But she is right. I fear the end times are upon us.
How? I questioned. Based on what? Because all the different demon kings are being slain? Because there's a Nephilim coming for Lucifer's crown? Or is the Exalted One behind this?
None of the above, Oliver noted. It's John Zeitman.
John Zeitman? What, the butler from Vegas? What in the bloody fuck does he have to do with the apocalypse?
Well, as you know, Zeitman spent the last few years going around, spreading the account of his encounter with you and Galu to all who will listen,
the white-haired man continued.
But he's become somewhat of a celebrity in the world of the paranormal.
So? I asked again. Not quite sure I'm following.
Recently, Zeitman's message has changed. Now, instead of milking his Vegas experience for all it's worth, he's begun to talk about how the time of the Second Coming is upon us, and how the earth shall be swallowed up by the great serpent, and how the beast is already living among us.
Okay, I muttered with a raised eyebrow. So Zeitman's gone off the deep end. And there have been thousands of people through the years who've predicted the apocalypse. Yeah, we're all still standing here.
Pazzo,
Martitelli added as he made a circle around his temple.
Exactly.
All those years of panicking over the Excalibur incident have probably just gone to his head.
It's not that,
Raphael responded grimly.
The details of Zeitman's rants are, rather specific. Too specific to be the random ramblings of some lunatic.
Even worse, Oliver shuddered. It is said a prophet named John will be the one to spread the message of the end times before they occur.
Oh, come on, Ollie,
Todd said as he waved his hand in disbelief.
Johnny Boy's a paranormal connoisseur like moi. He probably knows about all the prophecy shit and is just spewing it to get more attention. I know it's what I do.
Perhaps, but it's too much of a coincidence for my liking,
Raph continued.
We need to find this guy and tell him to knock it off before he accidentally sets off the end of the world.
That's what you called me up here for? Just to shake down some conspiracy theorist?
Yeah, it's not that simple, I'm afraid.
We've been trying to find John Zeitman for nearly a month now, with no success. The man is like a fucking ghost. No offense, Angelo.
Nessuno preso,
Martitelli reassured the woman.
Of course he's a ghost, Janie. Have you ever met these paranormal nuts? They're not all cool, intelligent, and badass like me. Oh, no. Well, they'll lock themselves in an underground bunker because they think the government has a chip in their heads. Or only use burner phones because they think they're being tracked or some shit like that. They're insane in the membrane, bro.
Yeah, not like you, though. You're totally not one of them.
Yeah, damn straight,
Todd said with a hearty nod.
I only speak the facts. It's not my fault the man doesn't want you to hear him.
Yeah, right. I rolled my eyes. So there's no leads on Zeitman, no social media, not even an email address. What? How the fuck does he get all these speaking arrangements if he doesn't have any way to contact him?
Anonymous letter chains, bro,
Todd explained.
Well, I've been on his website before, and it's bug nuts insane. He says the only way to contact him is to either send a letter to some address out in the middle of the Yukon or to reach out to one of his acquaintances. If you do option two, his friend will reach out to him, and if Zeitman thinks you're clean, he'll send you a letter or he'll let you know when or where he's going to be at any given time.
A letter doesn't really work in this situation. I facepalmed. So, I guess that means we need to find one of these acquaintances of his. Any idea where to start?
Ah, you're in luck, Jakey, because I just so happen to know a guy. Please, step into my office, and we'll continue this talk further, bro.
The imp hopped up on the table, dashed over to the end, and leapt off onto the ground. He didn't halt his momentum as his hooves clacked against the tile floor, and the rest of us simply watched in disbelief as he disappeared through the doorway. There was silence for a moment, and then his tiny horned head peeked back around the threshold.
That means I want you guys to come up to my room,
he clarified, and then he vanished behind the door once more. The five of us stood up from the table and then began to follow the imp. Well, everyone but Martitelli. Instead, the ghost simply giggled as he floated upward and through the ceiling. Oh, well, that's just cheating, I mused as I walked out the door.
He does that quite often, Raph clarified. In fact, he takes great joy in springing out at random angels in the office and nearly giving them heart attacks.
Well, now I could see more clearly why Martitelli's relationship with the divine had been so terrible while he was alive. We made our way up the marble staircase and then halted in front of Todd's door. The imp was standing there waiting, and he had transformed his body so he was now wearing a bright purple top hat, an equally purple frock coat, and held a cane in his hand. The imp slowly opened the door as he began to whistle the tune of Pure Imagination, and then he stepped through the door.
Ladies and gentlemen,
he said in a soft, calming voice.
The Toddster's room. There is no...
Oh, Jesus, Captain Kangaroo and a fucking dildo!
The imp jumped back through the door and clung to my leg like a koala. Meanwhile, I could hear Martitelli's mischievous laugh coming from inside the room.
You all right, bro?
I snorted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine,
he grumbled as he climbed down from my leg.
Tortellini just ruined my mojo, that's all. Last time I saw somebody in my room, it was a super hot chick with a gun who I made dance for me.
The five of us stepped into the room, and I chuckled at all the random shit that adorned Todd's dwelling. Technicolored potleaf stickers were plastered on everything, from the bed frame to the window to the ceiling. Posters of women in various states of undress were scattered across the wall, but there was one sign Todd had that never failed to make me laugh. There, right above the headboard of his bed, stood the poster for the movie Pulp Fiction. Only instead of Uma Thurman's gorgeous face looking back at me, Hulk Hogan's mug had been superimposed on her body, and the words Hulk Fiction stood where the movie title was supposed to be. There were only four pieces of furniture in the room. Todd's bed was only a twin, and it was little more than a mattress that laid on the floor with a small, dinged-up black headboard. Next to the bed was a nightstand with a blindfold, a crumpled-up sock, and a bottle of lotion. Then there was the bookshelf, a four-shelved unit that housed both Todd's books on the paranormal as well as his vast collection of WWE action figures. Last but not least was the Toddster's pride and joy, his computer. Todd had always prided himself on gaming, so he'd put a ridiculous amount of money into building his own machine. The tower stood nearly 2 feet tall and was custom-built to look like it was straight out of Tron, complete with green piping that glowed in the darkness. Todd walked up to his chair, hopped up onto it, and then spun it around to face the monitor.
Oh, pretty sweet setup, huh?
He boasted.
It's got an Intel Core i9-9090K, only the best for pwning noobs and beating the meat, am I right?
Why would you tenderize your meat here in the bedroom?
Raphael questioned.
Isn't that a task that's more suited for the kitchen?
Oh, I've done it in the kitchen before.
Ha!
The imp cackled.
Oh, seriously?
I gagged. We eat in there, bro.
It was just in the sink, Jakey.
Oh, no worries.
I was eating an apple in there one day, and I got hit with a sudden wave of nostalgia for Michelle Pfeiffer in her Catwoman costume. And, when you get a sudden wave of the Pfeiffer, you gotta drop what you're doing and quell your urges, bro. I know you'd do the same.
No, I reassured him. I definitely wouldn't. Now, can you find this guy who knows where Zeitman is or not?
Oh, sure thing, Jakey.
Todd cracked his knuckles and then leaned over his keyboard. The imp took his mouse in his hands and began to navigate through the internet. As he started to type the name of his website into the search bar, literally every porn site I'd even heard of popped up in the suggestions. However, the imp was unfazed, and he didn't even bat an eye as he went to TuesdaysWithTheToddster.com.
Your podcast? Oliver asked. Is Zeitman a fan?
No, Todd pouted. After we canceled on him that one time, he swore he'd never speak to me again. He's kind of stuck a prick like that.
And he's the key to stopping the apocalypse. Great. Todd continued to navigate through his website until he got to the chat room. He clicked a few of the drop-down menus, found the user he was looking for, and then typed a message for the anonymous user into the chat box.
Hey there,
Todd narrated as he typed.
You still got that info on John Zeitman. I could totally use a hookup right now.
The imp sent the message, and then the three reply dots appeared to show the other guy was responding.
I told you I'm out of horse tranquilizers, hombre.
Todd chuckled.
I can explain. They were for a new strain Slothy and I were working on. One that's supposed to put you out with just two or three puffs.
Let me clarify.
No, not that stuff. I'm talking about the info. Do you know where Johnny Boy is right now?
Who's asking?
He's entrusted me with highly sensitive information, and I can't just give it out to anyone who asks. How do I know you're clean?
Tell him he's speaking with an imp and an archangel,
Raph interjected.
Oh, that should put some fear of God into him.
Okay, Todd sighed. I'm an imp, and my friend here is an archangel. You don't get much more goody-two-shoes than that.
Fat chance. You think I'm gonna believe that shit, Mr. FBI man?
Bro, Todd narrated as he typed. If we were with the FBI, we'd have found you already.
Found me? You're looking for me. I knew I couldn't trust you. And I'm glad John makes me vet everyone before I tell them anything sensitive.
No, wait!
Todd's fingers flew over the keyboard rapidly.
We only want to talk to him. It's not even about anything bad, just talking.
My great uncle was just talked to by the KGB, hombre. Now he can't watch TV without getting a seizure from the chip they put in his head. Oh, Jesus.
I sighed and shook my head.
These guys really are nuts.
We're not KGB,
Todd reassured the man on the other side.
We're paranormal enthusiasts who want to talk to Mr. Zeitman about some of his work. We're like huge fans.
How can I trust you? For all I know, you could be a bear. Because online, nobody knows you're a fucking bear?
This guy.
Todd rolled his eyes and then went back to his keyboard warrior mode.
What if we met in person? Then you could see we're just regular old people like you.
This is entrapment, you know. I'm not going to give myself away willingly. If you want me, you're gonna have to drag your ass up to 39.4621/112.5980 and pull me out kicking and screaming.
Is that where you live?
Todd typed in disbelief. The dots on the screen stayed there for a solid minute, but then only responded with a two-sentence answer. Fuck. Don't try it, Mr. FBI man. With that, the little green circle beneath his username went dark.
Somebody type in those coordinates!
I called out in a panic.
Already on it.
Jane announced as she fiddled with her phone.
There, it is saying this guy lives somewhere in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado?
In the mountains?
That's what it's showing,
the brunette cultist said as she turned her phone to show me. The little X on her phone that indicated the coordinates were smack dab in the middle of the mountain range, far away from any major cities or civilization of any sort.
Oh, that makes total sense. This dude's obviously a basket case. He's probably up there in some sort of rickety shack, where he doesn't think the government can find him.
But he has high-speed internet connection, Oliver pondered.
Wireless hotspot?
Todd suggested. You have to have service to use a hotspot, I reminded him.
Satellite internet?
He tried again.
Is that even a real thing?
I questioned, but the imp just shrugged.
Look, bro, I don't make the rules. Oh, fuck, I don't even explain him. But this guy's our lead on Johnny Boy, and he says he's out in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
I rubbed my chin as I pondered our predicament. This guy was clearly not the brightest bulb in the box. Even if we went all the way out to the mountains, found his secluded cabin, and shook him down for information, would he tell us what we wanted to know? Well, surely Ira could get something out of him. Then there was the fact this could be nothing more than a wild goose chase. If we went all the way out to those coordinates and found nothing, we'll have wasted almost a full week with nothing to show for it. And if we were really dealing with the apocalypse, we didn't have the luxury to walk away with nothing.
Well, what should we do, Jacob?
Oliver looked to me for advice. After a few more seconds of thought, I turned to address my friends. I think we should go, I announced. But I don't think we should all go. I'm going to send a few of my demon lords back down to hell to protect my domain while I'm away, and I'm going to ask some of them to stay here, just in case this is a ploy and some chuckle fucks try to ambush us.
Oh, that happens way too often at this place, Todd admitted. I'm starting to think we're keeping the local hardware store afloat with all the times they've had to come out here and fix things.
And the rest?
Raphael spoke up.
The rest of us? I repeated with a smirk.
The rest of us are about to go mountain climbing.